Blog Talk Radio.
Falling off of me. Welcome and thank you again. We're back here live again on another broadcast of, as soon as I get myself together here, the EYC Radio Network. Good evening. My name is Minister Darren Chapman. How are you? If you are new to the broadcast, because I don't assume that every time we broadcast on the internet that we have the same listeners over and over again, so I'd like to say this and get it out the way. Early. If you are new to the broadcast, this is your first time listening, I'll give you a little bit about who we are. If you need to know, like, the whole much more, you can always inbox me. Facebook, Twitter, wherever you are. This is a Christian nonprofit organization. The acronym is EYIC. It stands for Equally Yoked in Christ Incorporated, because we're a relationship teaching ministry. A Christian relationship teaching ministry online, specifically to Facebook and Twitter and wherever else you can pick us up at. And all we do is talk about Christian relationships, right? So we teach to the singles, to the married, to the divorced, family on down the block, okay? And we talk about topics, all types of topics. But some of these topics are very hot, like tonight, right? So there's a lot of, you know, word play and things like that. And we try to have people call in and give their testimony, but we're not going to let it drift off too long because we only have 2 hours, and 2 hours actually seems like a long time, but it's not. Actually, when people are calling in and we start getting into heated discussion. But first and foremost, we are a teaching ministry. We try to bring up these topics regarding different types of relationships and put them in a biblical perspective, right? So that's what we do. We don't pop corn. We don't sell hot dogs. This is all we do, okay? So, and the ministry is actually called Love at the Root, which is, what a beautiful name, Love at the Root, because this is what we try to teach regarding our relationships, because this is what we should be learning and living by in our relationships. At the very root of all of our relationships, there should be love. All right, so if folks are hitting me up on Facebook, this is not the time to do it. Okay, because I won't be responding. All right, I spend a couple hours before the broadcast trying to respond with folks, but once we go live, that's about it. So this is who we are, and if you want to know more, you can get at me, send me an inbox. So let me get right to the announcements, and then I'm going to go straight. I don't do this too often, but I'm going to go straight to Facebook, and I'm going to start reading folks' comments, because if you're brave enough to put them out there, then, you know, you should have a courage enough to get some feedback regarding what you put out there. But let me say this, because I'm here in Philadelphia, Philadelphia, PA, on the East Coast. For those of you who are in Philly, and it's snowing outside, right? For those of you who are, you are going through some legal issues in your life, you feel as though you need a lawyer, and I am not one to promote Christians suing each other because it says so in the Bible. It says so in the Bible, not my Bible. It says so in the Bible, you know, the Holy Bible. Christians shouldn't be taking each other to court. But if you feel as though, you know, you have to utilize these services for whatever reason, you may want to reach out to Christian Legal Clinics of Philadelphia, where these are supposedly Christian attorneys, Christian legal aides who work together with you to provide legal services to low income. And you don't have a lot of money, low income clients in the name Christ. So what their attorneys that will offer to pray with you and address your spiritual and your family concerns, if your concerns are of a family nature, of course, which may be the root of your legal problems. So it's not just family issues. It could be domestic issues. It could be domestic violence. It could be, you know, a range of things. So if you have legal issues and you don't have a lot of money and you're looking for a Christian attorney, once again, somebody to pray with you, someone. And a lot of these cases, they accept on a pro bono, which means free or reduced fee basis. You may want to reach out to them. All right, so here's the information. It's 45 North 6th Street, Suite 100, and that is Philly, PA, 19140. Area code 215-399-0064. You can reach out to them at CLC at clcphilla.org. All right. So we're here talking about, what are we talking about tonight, right? Christian sex, and boy, Christian sexiness, don't judge minds, don't judge minds. I had this sister, and I'm going to tell you right now, before I even get into this, because folks have been ripping me. There's a couple folks that have ripped, first of all, let me get the number, because there's a couple sisters on Facebook, right? Let me get my math right. It's not hard to add up, and it's not a lot to add up, right? So we got two. Since I put this information up for this posting, right, and this broadcast was originated from the posting that I put up on Facebook, according to Facebook, 7 hours ago, right? If you were to go on my timeline right now, that's what it says. It says 7 hours, right? So here's the posting that I put up, right? It says another sister on Facebook. Now, this sister is a sister I don't know, but she was a sister on my friends list, right, putting herself out there as a woman of God, right? Never known. When I visited her page, I never known anything for her to say that was outrageous or whatever, you know. First thing I do when I friend folks, I go right to their photo album, all right, because that's what folks be hiding stuff. You know, they got Jesus all over the front of their page, and they comment in the scriptures. Well, you go to their photo album, and stuff is out there, right? So here's the situation. Folks, this sister who I've never spoken to before, right, She took this picture, right? She's a voluptuous woman, right? And I know there's sisters now who are listening to this broadcast that assume that I'm talking to them, right? And if you do, because I haven't told anybody who I'm talking about, you should just look at that as conviction on stuff that you need to do and don't try to kill the messenger. You know what I mean? Boy. So this sister puts up a picture, right? And she has, well, let me read it. Let me read it to you. I put another sister on Facebook who calls herself a woman of God and has Jesus all over her page, has now placed up a selfie. Like, everybody knows what a selfie is, right? Okay. A selfie with half her huge breasts exposed to see. I guess because she thinks it's a dress gown that's supposed to justify the way she's dressed, right? So somewhere between 7 hours ago when I put this post up and right before this broadcast, right, and folks are still hot with me, females, because they're assuming that I'm talking about them. So what does that tell you? There's a lot of females out there that are doing this, right? Else they wouldn't be popping up on my page assuming that, oh, Dan, you're talking about me, you got riff with me, you got beef with me. I didn't even mention their name. Probably don't even know who they are, right? All right, so somewhere in between this time, I had two sisters who were on my friends list, right, took me off their friends list, right? I had the sister that I was talking about took me off her friends list, right? And then I had this another sister that came at me in context of this posting, talking about, Darren, you're just mean and you're not sensitive and where's the love and you shouldn't be coming off like that and this, that, another thing, right? So I'm thinking, okay, well, in Scripture it said that John the Baptist, for those of you who actually read the word, you know, you're just not a Christian and walk around saying you're a Christian, but you actually read the Bible. And then for those of you who actually go a step further and study it, it says John the Baptist was screaming, shouting in the wilderness. Shouting, right? So we know the religious folks, you know, Sadducees, Pharisees, whoever, right? You know, they're trying to shut him up and so on, right? So it says that John the Baptist was shouting in the wilderness. Obviously, he was shouting his ministry, right? Because he was proclaiming the coming of Jesus, right? We don't need to interpret shouting. He was shouting his ministry, right? So, and the Pharisees and religious people didn't like it. They didn't want to hear it, right? So people, I'm saying this because Christians, sometimes other Christians will come, when you start proclaiming the truth and putting the truth out there, a lot of times other Christians who don't like it for whatever reason, because it convicts them or they have been raised in a denomination where their pastor is very, very like, you know, soft-spoken. Like, can y'all hear me right now? Soft-spoken and he doesn't raise his voice. And they think that that's the way that all Christians are supposed to preach. And then you got T.D. Jakes who's shouting and screaming, you know, his ministry, but you don't hear nobody saying shut up or calm down or you getting out of hand. So, you know, it all depends on where we come from, and I understand that. But the point is that whether you say it lowly or whether you shout it, the truth is the truth. So this sister is trying to tell me, well, I don't need to be saying this. I don't need to be saying these things because this is not the way to do it, and this is another thing. And then another sister is trying to say, well, you know, did you confront this sister? And the whole post was not even about a bullet point of how to go about confronting anybody. The whole post was about, is this the right thing to do? As a Christian, showing yourself half-naked online and still got a nerve to be talking about, you know, fellowship in Jesus. And, well, I'm not going to say that because, you know, we all have our things, right? But, I mean, come on. You're just putting that stuff out there, and it's like you don't see anything wrong with this, right? Right. But if we watch the TV and we see that somebody robbed the bank and they were a Christian, we would say, OK, well, you know, that's wrong. A Christian robbed the bank and he confessed that he was a Christian. And he robbed the bank. What type of mess is that? But yet when we see our sisters half naked online, mature sisters, we don't want to say, sisters, put some clothes on. We want to say, oh, man, you know, I wish I see less. Or I wish there was less to see. Or, you know, and now we, you know, this and another thing. Yeah, okay. So the radio board is lit up with folks, and folks is who obviously must have tuned in before have hit number one, and you wouldn't know to hit number one unless you know that, unless you've heard me before give out the number and have said hit number one if you want to talk. So here it is. Here's the number if you want to chime in, 949-272-9514. That's 949-272-9514. Hit number one if you want to speak. Okay, I got folks that told me, you know, they want to listen to this broadcast, but they're at work. That's fine. All of these broadcasts are archived, so you can listen to them as much as you want. You can rerun and rewind and whatever read that you want to do over and over again. I always encourage that you share these broadcasts. And for those of you who are new to the ministry, we have over 200. I don't know how many over 200, but we have over 200 broadcasts. This is number 200 and whatever. So, but we have over 200 broadcasts on nothing but Christian relationships on different topics. Okay, love, sex, emotions, communication, trust, you know, on down the block. So this is just one more that is added to the punch. Mind you, on hot topic broadcasts like this, you folks, I'm gonna let you folks on the air, but as soon as you start going to the right, I'm gonna cut you off quick, because we only have 2 hours, and I'm not gonna give this up to the devil. I'm not calling you a devil, but I'm not going to give it up to devilish conversations. So, folks, state your opinion, be on point, but don't drift too far off to the right, okay? All right, so let me say this before I pick up the first caller, okay? So let's define the word sexy, okay? Let's define the word sexy, and if we can, we'll try to take a commercial break. Let's define the word sexy. So the word sexy, Dictionary.com, because I don't want you folks thinking I made this up, okay? The word sexy means concerned predominantly or excessively with sex, risque, okay? That's number one, right? And number two is sexually interesting or exciting, radiating sexuality, okay? Now, that may fall in lines of what we're talking about. Someone who is dressing in a way where they are radiating sexuality. But what's the end and what's the beginning and what's the end? That's the question, right? And then the third one is excitingly appealing and glamorous. Okay, so, and it says that it gives a little thing here. It says like a sexy new car. Okay, so let me start with number three. Excitingly, because I'm playing devil's advocate now, okay? So number three says excitingly appealing or glamorous. Now, I know from a female point of view that a lot of females, they want to show their inward self through an outwardly way, and I understand that. You may want to put on, like this sister had a very, she had on a very nice gown. I don't know whether she was going out for the evening. It wasn't like a club type of thing. It was like a really nice gown, with, you know, like not like a black tie affair, but it was a nice gown, you know. There was nothing really sexy about the gown. I mean, the gown, it was a beautiful gown. It was an appealing gown. It was a very glamorous gown. That's why I'm starting with this third definition of sexy, right? And she may have thought that because, you know, that's when I seen it. I said, wow, that's a nice gown. That's really, you know, something, you know, that's really, you know, like a nice dinner, you know, like a nice affair or something like that. It's real glamorous, right? But the gown was cut so low, and she had to be, her breasts were so big, you couldn't really focus on the gown without focusing on her body parts, right? So then I'm saying to myself, okay, this sister obviously is not, she's not naive, because you can't be naive and dressed that way, right? And this sister's not slow, because you can't be slow and dressed this way. You may be slow biblically, but you can't be slow from a worldly point of view, because this is what you're portraying is worldliness, looking out of Christian eyes, right? So I'm saying to myself, well, whatever reason she's coming out like this, you know, I can say, we all have different reasons, right? But I can say it's probably because she wants attention, right? And this sister didn't even need to do that, because her face is, she's a beautiful, and you look at her face, she looks like her face belongs like on the cover of a magazine. So she doesn't really need to show her voluptuousness, right? Is that a word? Yeah. She doesn't really need to show all that, okay? Because, you know, just looking at her, it's like, wow, you know, this sister really, she looks like a model, right? So why would she take it even further, right? Okay. So the word sexy means, so I took it as though maybe she was trying to be glamorous or appealing. Okay, and she could have very well did that with a dress that covered, with that same dress, if it was a little bit more covered up, a lot more covered up, right? Because once again, she was a voluptuous woman, right? So number two, going backtracking, sexually interesting or exciting, radiating sexuality, and that's what she was doing. She was radiating sexuality. Okay, if you can see and you look at her and you know what sex is and you know what attraction is, and you know what lust is, and you know what, and you add some more words to that, whatever words you want to pick out. I'm not saying that you're doing one or the other, but if you know what these words are, chances are you're going to pick up one of these words just by looking at her and the way she was dressed. Okay? All right. The first one, concerned predominantly or excessively with sex. So obviously, I can't go as far as to say, I can't judge her heart. Okay? So I don't know how excessive she is with sex. But what I can do is that I can judge the way she was dressed, bringing out biblically in the second half of this hour, because I know a lot of you folks that run across me online, the first thing you come out with is, Darren, you can't judge, you can't judge, you can't judge. And none of y'all know the first thing about biblical judging, because if you did, you wouldn't come out to me. Come with me with this. You would understand when I put these posts out here exactly what I'm talking about, and that I'm not talking about the person's heart. So that tells me that there's folks out here that have I done a broadcast on judging? I don't think I have. I need to. It tells me that a lot of Christians out here, either because they just want to keep on sinning and they don't want people pointing fingers at them, you know, because if I don't want nobody, if I want to keep on sinning in front of your face, and I don't want, and I'm trying to deter you, not to point a finger at me, the first thing I'm come out my mouth and says, "Don't judge me," and then that lets me, that's like me throwing a rock at you to knock you down, so that way I can keep on sinning in front of you, right? That's not the case, okay? So that's what this other sister came with, Darren. You don't need to be saying this and this. Oh, I don't. Okay. So then I put up a posting up on Facebook, and I said, listen, if I walked around naked all day long, right, I walk out of my house going to work, I'm naked. I'm probably not going to get to work because I'm probably going to get locked up long before I even get to my car or the bus or wherever you're going, right? So if I walk around and walk out of my door naked and I say I'm a Christian and I'm a nudist, or I walk out with clothes that reveal my private parts or whatever, and I say I'm a Christian, because this sister was trying to say, another sister was trying to say, well, that doesn't confirm the relationship that you had with Jesus. Oh, it doesn't? You're going to tell me now. Boy, I tell you, y'all folks kill me on Facebook with this stuff. I don't know what congregation, what pastor, what pulpit, y'all, some of y'all folks are sitting up on. We don't. But if you're trying to tell me that if I walk around half naked or naked, that doesn't confirm the relationship that I have with Jesus, well, what does? What does? If you're going to tell me if I walk around with clothes on and that confirms humility, then with my relationship with Jesus, then what confirms my relationship with Jesus if I walk around with no clothes on? It's not even 30 minutes into conversation. I'm hyped already with this broadcast. All right, let's go to the air. You're live on the UIC Radio Network, 813 area code. You there?
Are you asking me or someone else?
813 area code. Yes, indeed.
Oh, Evelyn. Hey.
Evelyn.
Praise the Lord. I just
Evelyn,
want to say to you.
Ev, how you doing, Ev? How you doing?
I'm in Florida. I'm fine. Praise the Lord.
Now, Ev, you don't call here before. You know you're supposed to tell everybody where you're from.
I'm from Florida, Land O'Lakes area, outside Tampa.
Amen.
And
how
I
you
just
want
to comment on, I'm fine, Pastor Darren Chapman, just to say, we do supposed to let each other know where we're in error, and you just put up a big point. that is your relationship with the Lord, how you allude yourself and display yourself, and then you tell everybody you're a child of God. I mean, I don't know what else is. You just nailed it. I don't know what religion they from and who's preaching to them and who's teaching them, because it tells you right in Titus, like the sister said on Facebook, about modesty, how you're supposed to dress. And if we're going to be portraying ourselves that we are sexy, and I know it, I mean, people ain't going to take us seriously. And like you said, I have an issue with people on Facebook who want to be my friend because I don't have somebody to put, and I'm not trying to get off the subject, put somebody's butt on my Facebook with their lips on it. You know, people just do some stuff. And well, I'm a child of God. I'm just like you. I'm a minister of the gospel, and I have to be so careful how I conduct myself, what I put on my page and what people put on my page and how I dress. And you're so right. If she didn't know her boobs was that big, let me tell you, I notice, and I ain't got big ones, I notice everything I put on because I'm not trying to show my breasts or my butt, you know what I mean, or my legs or whatever. I have to be particular of how I display myself because people talk about us. They talk about the way we present ourselves. And it's really sad. If she didn't know, I have to say now she should know.
Well,
men see. Men are visual, and that's what they're looking to see. Oh my God, if I can see that, what else is gonna be next? You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, Ev, you know, I'm glad you said. I'm not looking for, and Evelyn, you should know this by now because this is not your first time tuning
in. I do know.
So I'm not looking for folks to call in and agree with me. For those of you who are new to the ministry and to this broadcast, because I mean it's nice that we all agree on God's word, but I'm looking for truth. See, because everybody could agree on the wrong thing and still be in stuff that's watered down too. So I'm looking for complete truth when we bring up these topics in these broadcasts. And so, Ev, I'm gonna use you as an example, right?
Now, go ahead.
I'm gonna use an example. Like, I know what you look like because I've seen your pictures, right?
Right.
And I can say to you, Evelyn, you are a sexy woman because the title to this broadcast is Christian Sexiness. Don't judge mine, right?
Exactly.
So I can say to you, Ev, I've seen your picture. Okay, we've conversed, you know, on the broadcast, and so I can look at you and I can say, Ev, you know, I see pictures with your family. I see pictures with you, with other church members, you know, and it's another thing. And I've gone through your whole photo album, and, Ev, I can say that you are a sexy woman of God to me because of the way that you present yourself in decency and in humility,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
And in modesty, right?
Modesty.
Right? So, modesty, right? So that's what's sexy. That's, see, to me, That's Christian sexiness right there, right? You want to be said, like, I can say, Ev, you're a beautiful woman, and you're a sexy woman, and I can say that from the term of, from a position of your looks, you know, and not be prideful about that statement because, you know, God created us. We are beautifully made.
Wonderfully,
He
did it. Wonderfully, exactly.
That's right.
Fearfully
that's
made.
Right. That's right. But the moment
works. He tells us that.
That's right. But the moment I come to your page, Ev, and I see that you done went off to the left a little bit and you wearing something out of Victoria's Secrets or somewhere and you showing the world, sure enough, I'm going to jump up on your page and be like, Evelyn, what's going on with you? I mean, I know you know better.
And you should.
You know, if something, you know, people see me come online. And because, you know, we all live in different states and whatever, most of us. And so the only perception we have, someone has of me, you know, saying that they can't see my heart, but the only perception of someone seeing outwardly that I'm a man of God or who I say that I am, they can only see it through what I do online because they can only see me online. So if I come out one day and put pictures up, and I'm wearing this, that, and another thing, I expect for you as my sister to jump up on in my inbox and be like, hold up, Darren, D, what's going on?
Right.
You know what I mean?
But exactly, see, and I will.
Yeah, but I don't know if we do that enough nowadays, Ev, to each other. I don't know if we do that enough nowadays as Christian to Christian.
I think it's too much accepted.
Yeah, come on now.
I'm going to be honest with you. It's too much have been accepted. And it's like you said, it's so much pride. I never seen so many people with their face and the pictures of them like weekly all the time about them. And, they, you know, we got to get the word out. I can see that you've been to a thing, but this is just them. Not that they've been out to an event. This is just them. You see what I'm saying? And it's like, what is going on with people? When you did that part about pride, I had never paid attention. But I'm paying more attention to it. It's like, this is not about me. This is about God and me trying to bring people into the kingdom. This is not about my philosophy and my word. This is about God. And another thing I'm going to bring up is I had a real good friend, and I'm going to say this because women need to hear this. And when I become good friends with you, I feel like I can tell you anything. And if you got a see-through dress and your tea bag that you got on is showing through it, I feel like I can come to you, not tell everybody about it. I don't go on Facebook. I went straight to her personally. She didn't even do nothing about it. I was out, and I saw her again with the same outfit on. You could see straight through it. And I said to her, I came to you one time about this outfit. And evidently, you don't care. We don't talk like we used to, but I'm going to tell you something. You can't tell me you're a child of God and you are advertising like that. I don't give a doggone. Somebody need to tell you that you're wrong. You laughing, but it's true.
I know it's true, Ev. I know. Because the assumption is that a child of God is not going to portray themselves. This is what the sister put on my... What is the sister's name? I'm gonna call her name out because she posted it. If she posted it publicly, so it's not like I'm putting her on front street.
Sometimes they need to be called out. She
didn't already put herself out there.
Right. It's another thing. It's an issue. Is men are complaining to the pastors? I done had two men tell me this, that women are coming to church with tight dresses on, see-through dresses, and they marry. And one man said, I have to sit in the front row so I can't see. He said, men are visual. I'm here to tell y'all, men are. They are so visual, too, it ain't funny. He said, men are visual. And he said, and I'm married, Evelyn. He said, I try not to look. He said, but what are you going to do when they put it right in your face? I said, you ain't wrong. I said, you going to the pastor. If you don't do nothing about it, I suggest you go to another church. I said, because it's a fornicating spirit going on up in there. And it could come from the pastor if he ain't doing nothing about it, because he enjoying it, too. I'm sorry. I'm going to tell it like it is.
Well, hey, tell it like it is. This sister, Sister Holmes, she writes on my page 2 hours ago, I would submit to you that a person's attire neither confirms nor denies their personal relationship or status with Jesus. Rather, it may speak to one's self-image, self-worth, and or self-esteem. Now, she put another post there, but I'm targeting this one, all right, because folks want to put up posts, and then when I come back and refute that with the Word of God, then they want to put up a second post behind it and trying to clean up the first post that they put down. I know that game, too, all right? So here we go. See, plus, I would submit to you that a person's attire neither confirms nor denies their personal relationship or status with Jesus. Now, she said neither a person's salvation confirms or denies their personal relationship, then maybe I would agree with her because we don't get salvation by works or how we dress. But because, amen. All right, for those of you who think you go into heaven by faith and grace and works too, right? So if she would have said that, I would say, okay, I'm with that. But because we have salvation, those of us who are truly saved, because we have salvation, we're supposed to show an outwardly holiness because we have salvation, not because we're trying to get salvation. So I will submit to you that a person's attire neither confirms nor denies their personal relationship. So because we have salvation, we have a personal relationship with Jesus. So our personal relationship with Jesus, because we have salvation, dictates that we walk in, we strive to walk in what? In holiness,
holiness,
and humility, and humbleness, and modesty, and righteousness.
Yes.
And there you go, we're going down the block, right? So
that's
why I said to her, I said, sister, I'm going to show you that your statement is wrong. Okay, now I give people the benefit of the doubt because, you know, folks, they type stuff and then they come back and said, well, that's not really what I really meant, you know, blah, blah, blah. But you really need to see, because an unsaved person can be on your Christian page reading all of this, and we don't know whether this person is at the brink of coming to Jesus or joining Islam.
Right, exactly.
Or Buddha or the Church of Oprah or the Scientology or whatever type of cult. You know, so that's why when you just can't put stuff up on your page and come back and flip-flop with it and, oh, I didn't mean that the first time and I meant it this way.
Exactly.
And you got to be on point when you start talking about these topics, okay? Because not only the church is reading, who didn't, now mind you, there's a portion of the church that don't understand because they're still walking around worldly. And we understand that if we go to Corinthians. We understand that they were carnal Christians, right?
Right.
So we have the carnal Christians and we have the unsaved who are carnal. They could be up on your page reading this stuff, and you just can't. You got to be on point when you come with this, right? So I said that. So that we can move that to the side. All
right.
So we're gonna go down the block here. All right, Ev, hold on if you can, because I got some more callers. All right, and I'm gonna try to get somebody else. Hold on, Ev. All right. So here we go. Let's go to the next call, and folks. Because I know somebody's going to jump up on this line and say, Darren, you're judging this and another thing. All right, and I'm going to show you how I'm not, okay? But I'm going to say we're going to get into that in the second hour, okay? Let's go to for those of you who want to call in, okay, I want somebody to call in and try to tell me or try to tell the listeners, right, what do they believe is the beginning and the end to showing sexiness as a Christian, like in how we dress. Like, if I dress in a business suit, right, sister could say, well, Darren, you look sexy. And another sister could say, well, you know, I see 1,000 brothers in business suits. So that don't appeal to me. I need to see something, a little something else. You know, so not necessarily in your birthday suit, obviously, but, you know, let me invite you to the pool party, because when you invite folks in the summertime to pool parties to the beach, and I expect this brother to come in just his one piece, and that way I can see more of him, and then I'll make a judgment on whether he's sexy or not. See, we make judgments every day, folks. Every day you get out your bed, you judge whether you're going to wear your brown socks or your black socks. You judge whether you're going to wear your brown shoes or your blue shoes or your hat or, you know, or your scarf. We make judgments every day. When you at work, you make a judgment on what type of lunch you're going to eat. Should I want chicken salad or I want tuna salad? You make a judgment on how you raise your children. Am I going to let them hang out in the street all night long, or am I going to be the parent God knows I should be and put a curfew down? We make judgments all the time. This is why I can't understand why folks are always saying, judge, don't judge. You don't want nobody judging you because you want to still do your sin in front of my face and don't want me to say anything about it. Yeah. Let's go to where we at, 313 area code. You're live on EYC. Are you there? 313. All right, folks, you got to be quick. Let's go to, I don't know whether this is Sister or Brother Shepherd. Hello?
Yeah, this is Greg calling from Nashville, Tennessee.
Greg, is it Greg Shepherd?
No, this is just Greg Shepherd, just my handle on the radio. That's all it is.
Okay, very, very good. Brother, are you a Christian, brother?
No, I'm
sorry, you broke up there.
No, I'm not. I'm not a Christian, no.
Okay. Well, God bless you. Welcome to the EYC Radio Network. And you are welcome to share whatever you have to say.
It's interesting because I was listening, and I'm not trying to be cute, but this is what came into my mind when I heard you speak, and then especially with the caller. Salvation and salivation don't belong in the same sentence. And it's just I think it's ironic. My understanding of the word sexy just means sexy means sex, S-E-X, and sex means six, which is 666. And then it would bring me to the question, why are there three sixes? And this is just my understanding. It doesn't mean anything. I believe that's the false trinity of the flesh. It's the deception that the flesh can bring to us. And to me, that's what the beast is. It just means of the flesh or of the earth. And I've come to the place where there's, to me, I understand that I've heard that it's been said that the body is the temple of the Lord. And I don't argue with that, but I don't think there's anything spiritual about the flesh, because it really, I think it traps us. And in terms of the conversation, I think we can, all of us, Christian or not, can sort of get into this way of, well, is there a proper way to do things in terms of displaying the flesh or doing whatever? And this came into my mind. There's really no proper way to actually have sex. I mean, it's just purely carnal. It can be a beautiful thing. It can be an amazing thing. But the bottom line is it's to procreate. It's to create other human beings. So my question is, you know, what if we're really just spirit trapped in flesh? And what if the body is a curse and a blessing at the same time? And that brings me, and I will close. When I hear be in the world but not of it, what I hear is be in the flesh but not of the flesh. Thank you for opening the mic, sir.
All right, brother, and thanks for calling in, Greg. You are always welcome back. I'm going to really thank you, because you are mature enough to have shared what you had to say, and it was polite. It was not disrespecting, and I appreciate that, because, you know, online we could get a lot of people who can't share their word because they're not mature enough to give the respect to others. So I appreciate that. I appreciate that. I really do.
Thank you very much.
Okay. All right. God bless you. All right. So that was great. And we're talking about the flesh. Ev, you there?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Did you hear?
He was on
Greg?
Yes. I have to say for somebody who say he don't follow, and he mentioned about the body is the temple of God, and that's what the Lord is trying to tell us, to present ourselves as a holy sacrifice unto Him. People don't understand that. It used to be a time where they would bring the altar members only can do the offering, because they wouldn't hold it. People wouldn't hold it, and God wouldn't accept anything. We are the sacrifice now to Christ. And it's our temple. We have to keep holy. And it's how you elude yourself. It's how people present, you know, how people accept us and say, oh, you're supposed to be a child of God, but look how you're carrying on. And how, you know, even the words we say, my father has to sometimes say this to us in the congregation. We have to be careful what we say out of our mouth. That's why you need to be careful. You need to say yay or nay. It's the same way you present yourself.
Right.
And that man just nailed it when he was saying that about how we have to present ourselves and what you wear. I like his analogy about the sex. I mean, sexiness means sex, and then 666. I know all that, because it is a form of the devil, that having people think we got to go there to, you know, present ourselves, and you don't have to go there to present yourself.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You could present yourself holy and still be accepted as holy, and you're a child of God.
Yeah. The first thing I would ask for all of the Christians, for those of you who are genuine Christian, you meaning you have accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, is that you pray for Greg, because we all heard his statement when I asked him was he a Christian, and he said no. So we want to pray. I'm asking for you, brothers and sisters in the faith, to pray for Greg's salvation, that he would taste the salvation of the Lord, and that his name would be written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and that he would serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and Jesus would be his God, and the Holy Spirit would live inside of him, and he would be brought into the Heavenly Father's family. All of this, I'm asking you saints out there to pray for Greg as you are led in the time that you have. Okay. So we are, what? We're 45 minutes into the broadcast. We have another hour and 15 minutes. Ev, I know you're busy, Ev, so I'm not going to keep you. because I know you run it.
I just want to touch on one other thing.
Mm-hmm.
I need to understand, and I'm asking the Lord to give me a sermon on it so I can speak it or teach it. What
mm-hmm.
is it with married women when they lose their ability to feel like they got a hold on their husband and they get intimidated by single women? I need to understand this because I don't understand it because you're with him.
Yeah.
He's your husband. Did you go after him or he went after you? I'm not understanding this because I'm not a man. I don't know why
yeah.
women get so intimidated by single church women. And
yeah.
I don't believe none of us is in the church to get nobody's husband. I just don't believe it.
Yeah. I just put that a couple
we
ways.
We so hate it.
Yeah. Well, I just put that a couple ways. You know, there's a lot of inferiority complexes out there. There's a lot of trust issues out there.
Uh-huh.
There's a
mm-hmm.
lot of things that happen in relationships regarding marriage, especially as it leads towards divorce, where the
right.
root even of your identity can be shaken. Because a lot of people go into marriage with pride about what they can do instead of subscribing to the greater picture of what Jesus can do
what it's
for
about.
Me in this marriage.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So a lot of people cripple as they get towards divorce. It's not so much because of the manifestation of what has happened, but because somewhere along the line, either one person or both have lost touch in the reality as far as their identity, as far as not so much being Christian. I'm not saying that people are not saying that they're not saved. Christians are not jumping up and saying they're not saved anymore just because they're divorced, but because of the identity as far as where they stand in the relationship, meaning marriage. And for you to understand that, you have to understand a couple things. You have to understand role, okay? You have to understand purpose.
Right.
You have to understand will. And then there's characteristics that you have to understand to go along with that to help that. So it's this is why I tell people, and people hit me up all the time, Darren, you know, they want me to give them an answer to their relationships and instant like toast. If I'm going to give you one name, I'm going to give you Jesus. But, you know, for you, this is why we have biblical counselors and pastors. You know, they sit down with folks over time and we have sessions because a lot of it, I just can't fix everything that happened to your relationship in 5 minutes. I don't even know who you are. I haven't even talked to you for 30 minutes.
Right.
And you want me to fix a marriage that's going into divorce. You know what I mean? So people need to think about that. But just off of what I know that I have experienced regarding relationships and breakups and heartaches and divorces online, it always comes down to one or two things. It's a lack of all the things that I just mentioned. And then it's a lack of biblical education. I don't know how many times
okay.
I hear this, Ev. People jump up and they say, Darren, I'm so thankful for your broadcast because whatever topic that they heard, if I would have heard that before I got married, if I would have heard that while I was married, I would have never got divorced.
Right.
If I would have heard this, and you know what this is? This is lack of biblical education, because this is one of the reasons
right.
why we bring these broadcasts, because the things that we talk about here, listen, if you could have midweek Bible study for 2 hours on a Wednesday or Thursday night, why can't you have midweek relationship study? Because
exactly.
your Bible studies should be, but see, the Bible studies, you know, the Bible studies is we go into the Old Testament and we're talking about Noah and the Ark and we're talking about Adam and Eve and you know, and these are all good, you know what I mean? But we need, I personally think that the church needs to have, in addition to Bible study in midweek, they need to have a relationship
Amen.
Study midweek. You know what I mean? So when folks leave out of there, you know, they can go back to their sweethearts and they can go back to,
right.
I'm not promoting shacking or fornication, but they can go back to their sweethearts
no.
and they can go back to their husbands and wives and they can deal with that relationship a little bit better. You know, I'm not going back home talking to my sweetheart about how big the ark was and what type of wood
right.
it was made of. And I'm not going back to, you know what I mean? I mean, I can have that conversation with my sweetheart and it's good. You know what I mean? But when me and my sweetheart starts going through stuff, I need relationship education. So this is one of the
exactly.
reasons why we bring these broadcasts out so we can talk about this stuff. You know what I mean? And sometimes we need a part two because you know, we have testimonies and things like that. But, Ev, I'm going to let you go because I know I'll catch up to you.
All right.
Lord willing.
Yeah, we will.
Good to hear from you.
But I just always – but just so you know, a lot of single
yeah.
women in church, we have this issue because it's not us.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
whatever you
yeah.
did, both vice versa, to get each other. You need to go back to that. Like the church Bible say, go back to your first love.
I'm going to tell you something that's real. I'm going to tell you this. I'm going to let you go. I'm going to tell you this is real, right? My own grandmother, right? My own grandmother, right? When I was a kid, right? I heard my own grandmother say, she was obviously married to my grandfather for a long time, right? And I heard her say one day, I've been married to you for X amount of years, and I don't know who you are.
Oh, my God.
And I didn't dig it. When I was a kid, right? Even though it caught my ear, because I'm thinking to myself, well, how long y'all been married? And why would she make a statement like that? And she's been married to this man for, I don't know how, but I didn't dig it when I was a kid, right? So obviously it takes education.
But
now, right?
now you understand. Mm-hmm.
Oh, man, I'm on point. What's she talking about?
Now
right?
You know what she was talking about. Exactly.
Right. So I say that to say is, You can walk into marriage holding hands with the Bible, but it doesn't necessarily mean that you're going
to
continue in your marriage holding hands with the Bible. Because if we look at the church stats right now, I don't know how many. I'm not really a stats person, but if you just take the stats,
right.
You know, of the divorce rate in the church. We have a lot of folks that are walking into marriage holding the Bible, but somebody's letting that Bible go midstream or down the road, and then we're only walking out with one person.
They're not applying
still,
the Word of God to their life.
There you go. There you go. And we're still
So now
we have one person that walked into the marriage the same way they're walking out of marriage, still biblically educated on relationships, but the other person has walked into marriage that way, but somehow let that book go, and now they're walking out, taking a different block. Em, I'll talk to you later. God bless you, sweetie. I love you.
Okay, thank you so much for this title. It was just so needed. You love
All
you
right,
too.
I see you. All right. Let's go to, where are we at? Let's go to 313 Area Code. You're live on EYC Radio Network. Can you state your name and where you're calling from, please? 313 Area Code. All right, folks, you got to be quick. Let's take one more. And then I got some stuff I want to say. I haven't even got to. I haven't got nowhere near where I want to. What I want to talk about. But we want to hear from as many people as possible. 253, Erica, are you there?
Hi. This is Tanisha from Washington.
Tanisha
so
from
I want
Washington.
To go back to the judging. Yes. So I wanted to talk about the judging because I understand that we are to judge. We are to discern what's right from what's right and from what's wrong. But I understand that it was on Facebook that you approached this lady.
Go ahead, sister.
Yes, can you hear me?
Yeah, go ahead.
So I was asking the question, was it on Facebook that you approached this lady about her dress?
I'm not going down the block of me approaching anything. That's not the context tonight.
So,
the actual context tonight is Christian sexiness. Don't judge minds. Okay?
Okay. So what I want to say was that our approach to people, because sometimes our approach can be off.
But we're not talking about the approach tonight, sister. We're not talking about that tonight, sister. We're not talking about the approach. The context of tonight's broadcast is Christian sexiness. Don't judge minds. We're not talking about the bullet point approach. So what do you believe that God's word says, or what do you know about God's word regarding the way we dress, regarding Christians dressing with sexiness? What's the level? What's the end and the beginning to what you know of?
Oh, of course. Well, we're supposed to be modest in our dress.
There you go.
We're not supposed to have everything hanging out and showing our legs and dressing like the world and things like that. So I'm on point with that. But it's just some things that I've gone through and that triggered, and so that's why I brought it up. So when you have a discussion on that, I'll call back.
God bless you, sister. Thanks for your answer. All right. So here we go. Christian sexiness, don't judge mine. So many have different, and you can read this on the addressment. Many have different views on what begins and what ends when it comes to being sexy. But for the Christian, where does that view begin and end? Okay, so has anybody ever heard of the word lasciviousness? Anybody out there? Right? Have you ever heard of the word lasciviousness? Right? Okay, so it's a word in the Bible, right? It means excessive indulgence in sensual pleasures, okay? When you excessively indulge in sensual pleasures, okay? In other words, it's having a complete disregard for the integrity and honor of others, okay? And we can see examples of this in Scripture. We can go to 2 Peter, talking about false teachers. We can go to Sodom and Gomorrah. Paul uses the word in 2 Corinthians and Romans 13. Jesus uses the word in Mark 7, or Jesus' words recorded in Mark 7, Mark chapter 7, have the same implication. So lasciviousness is a behavior, okay? And you may be saying, well, Darren, that only applies to people who are, say that they're Christian and they're indulging in orgies or sex parties and you know, and then the question is, well, you know, what Christian is going to do that anyway, right? But this word also involves the way we dress. And I don't think people get it when they dress like this. You say, well, Darren, you know, why you always targeting the females? It's always the females. Every time I come to your page, it's the female. Well, you probably haven't been around our ministry long enough because I've been teaching online for the last couple of years, and actually I kind of dog out the men more than the females if you really stuck around long enough, you know. But here's the thing. I don't see too many Christian brothers online with no T-shirt and Skippy Speedo shorts on, you know, with a tie, okay? But I do see sisters out here because they know that their body is shaped in a way that we would call sexy and voluptuous, and they run with that stuff. Right, lasciviousness behavior includes also the way that we dress. When the goal, and here's the goal, when the goal is to appear sexy or sensual. Now understand what I'm saying here, because now we start to bring the actual contrast and the divide between what you may think is dressing sexy and what dressing sexy is according to a word right out of Scripture, which is lasciviousness. Okay? So I'll say this again. Lascivious behavior may include, I've already given the Scripture to where it can be found. Okay? And there's other there's passages in the New Testament. You can go to Jude 1. You can go to Ephesians 4. Once again, 1 Peter 4. You can go to Galatians 5. Okay? I don't normally give the verse because I just tell people where the chapter is, because I want you to read the whole chapter, because folks will go to one verse and then they'll close the book. So, boy. So this behavior may include, because it's not the only type of behavior, but it also includes the way we dress when the goal is to appear sexy or sensual. Okay? So it's at work in both men and women. I understand that. Okay? And without question, it is in this postmodern society that we live in, so much that Christians are being tainted by this, I believe, that are not, I don't know if I want to go as far as saying strong-minded, that are not strong-minded, but then again, you have to have a real strong mind to say no to this type of stuff, right? A Christian should be virtuous, because we read in Scripture in Corinthians with Apostle Paul. He says, run away. He don't say dodge or duck, you know, thinking you bobbing and weaving, you know. He says, run away from sexual sin. And I understand at times we fall And I understand some of us are in some of us are in, you know, these struggles. And I understand all that. You know, but when you're putting this stuff out here in public, that's a different ballgame. Now, what you do behind your doors, your closed doors, sin is sin. I understand that. And what you do behind closed doors, you struggle with stuff, I understand that. But just because you struggle with stuff doesn't mean that you have to advocate that stuff to the world. You may struggle with perversion. You may struggle with alcohol. You may struggle with beating up on people. And you may struggle with lying. I mean, you struggle. We struggle with stuff. Everybody has a vice, but it doesn't mean that you're just going to put this stuff out for the world to advocate and say, look at this. This is fine. This is me. This is who I am. This is what I do. And this stuff is connected to certain words, like tonight's topic, which is lasciviousness. Is anybody following me? And even if you were to promote this inside your house, because you were some type of undercover Christian, you know, in church on Sundays, everybody see holiness. But when you behind closed doors, there ain't nothing but filth. Well, God gonna see that too. It's important to understand that those of us who indulge in lasciviousness are putting their souls in dire jeopardy. Because Paul makes it clear in Galatians, when you follow the desires of the sinful nature, and this is what Greg, I could pull this out a little bit out of what Greg was talking about. When you follow the, because he mentioned, you know, the flesh and so on. When you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, which is lasciviousness, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and the sins are alike. And a lot of these things we get when we approach other Christians who are doing this. The first thing they do is that they get angry. Right? Why? Because you done tapped on their selfish ambition, which is what? Surrounded by lustful pleasure, lasciviousness, which represents what? Impurity. I'm taking these words right out of the verse I just read you in Galatians, right? Which also represents what? Sexual immorality, which is a form of what? Idolatry, which promotes what? Sorcery. Okay? Come back to it, keep talking to them long enough, and then you won't see hostility, because they're going to delete you from their page after they say a couple things to you, and it's going to lead them to quarreling with you, because they don't understand. Right? I'm not getting into wild parties and drunkenness and jealousy and things like that. And I just try to connect a couple of these words in this verse. Being judgmental. Here we go. Don't judge minds. Okay? Christian sexiness. Let me be sexy online. Let me show my breasts. Let me show my cleavage. You know, I'm a 44 double D, so I want to show a 22 out of that 44 online, because the excuse is that I don't, you know, I don't have no clothes large enough to fit, you know, my stuff. Well, is that an excuse for you to willfully take a picture and still put it up online anyway? For those who have excuses, this is their excuse. Well, I can't help it if I'm endowed. Well, is that an excuse for you to still wear pants so tight that it shows the image of your endowment? No, it's not. But this is the excuse. And it seems like we run into a church today that wants to give excuses to promote their sin, to promote their lasciviousness. But they don't want to study to show thyself. They don't want to learn biblical education regarding their relationships. They don't want, and then they get mad when they get the type of people that they don't want. And they're going in circles and circles and circles and circles. And they're online crying about this man and this woman. And he broke my heart and she did this. And this, but they never can tie any of that in to stuff that they don't see themselves doing. That maybe led somebody on in a way to where as though a sheep in wolf's clothing. Oh, well, she going to put herself like that, then I'm going to come as a sheep to try to get in there. Well, really, I'm a wolf. As soon as I get in there with her and lower her defenses, then I'm going to come out with my wolf. And then the first thing, you know, the sister's going to do is she's going to jump up and say, well, why did this man do this? And she doesn't think back to, oh, look at the way I was dressed. Look at the way I was presenting myself. See, your sisters don't want to hear that. So when you come along and you start saying, hey, because of the love of your brothers and sisters, you start saying, hey, you know, sister, brother, this is totally inappropriate. Well, who are you to tell me it's inappropriate? Well, I mean, look at it. Come on now. Look at the way you're dressed. You're showing this and that and other. So then people come back and they say, well, you know, it's unloving of you to say this to me. Well, God loves everyone. And since everyone is a sinner, we still sin. Even though we're saved, we still sin. God loves us as Christians who still sin, right? Okay? So it is entirely possible to love someone and at the same time point out their error. Because God loves us, his children, but does he not still chastise us? Of course he does. So it's very possible for me to love you but still point out your sin, and for you to love me and still point out my sin. In fact, love requires us to point out our errors. And this is what a lot of saints can't understand, that if God loves you as his child and he chastises you and points out your error, and we are supposed to be like Jesus, who is God, I'm pretty sure you can finish the rest of that sentence. Now, how could you not see yourself as doing the same to your brother? If your relative is messing around with drugs, if your children are messing around with drugs, if your spouse is you know, doing something, are you not going to say something to them? Well, if you love them, of course you are. So here is my thing as far as online. What we feel as though, a lot of people who are Christian may feel as though because we are online that, you know, it's online. So we don't have a right to approach them like that because we've never said word one to them ever face to face. We've always, we know each other online. That has nothing to do with right and wrong. That has nothing to do with foundation of truth. If you come out and present yourself as Christian, so be it. I'm going to accept you that way. But if you keep saying that you're Christian and you one day your photo album looks like the Playboy Channel, should I not then say something? Of course I'm supposed to say something to you. You presented yourself as my brother or sister in Christ. So now the measure is of love. Do I love you enough to say something to you? And do you love me enough not to do what you're doing in respect out of me? Because you know that I may run across your page. But forget me. Respect for God first and foremost. If you want to put it in order, let's put it in order correctly. So we don't want to hear that. What we want to hear is, you don't know me. We just comment on Facebook one and off. You don't know me that well enough to be coming at me like that. Well, if you come in to the public arena saying that you're a Christian and you got Jesus all over your page and you throwing scriptures and this and another thing, but you putting up pictures that are half naked, then you're portraying to me that you're a woman of God, you're a man of God. I know that I am. Of course, I'm supposed to say something to you. James chapter 1, verse 15. I'll give the verse here. Sin destroys and love attempts to prevent destruction. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with truth. 1 Corinthians 13. So we need to define love, because, you know, this sister came to me on Facebook and said, Darren, that's not love. Well, obviously she doesn't know what the biblical definition of love is. So let's define love correctly while we're on this broadcast. Okay, because if by love you mean, like, applaud your sinful lifestyle or ignore sin or profess that these actions that you're doing of yourself half-naked online and posting doesn't matter, then that's a faulty view of love. And then if you tell me that I don't have no love because I'm preaching or speaking or teaching against sin, then I'm going to look at you and be like, no. Now my issue is not lasciviousness. My issue is your salvation, because there's no way in the world that a true Christian is going to tell another Christian not to talk out against sin. Have we gone that far in the church today? Biblical love is doing what is best for someone, regardless of the cost. And here's the other thing online. We want to compromise this stuff. You know, when this sister put this picture up, there were like 25-something, 30, I don't know how many people that were saying, yeah, sister, you look good, and this and other. And I posted on there, and I said, you know what, y'all, my people shame me. Out of 25, 30, however many people, not one person has enough love to say to this sister who has a cross on her timeline page, you know, that big, you know, the big picture, right? And then there's your picture right there on the, you know, to the left, you know, down there. Okay. So, you know, not one person loves this sister enough to post on her page, sister, listen, I don't care who's reading this. I don't care what this is wrong. You putting yourself out here as a woman of God, man of God, this is wrong. So how much of a compromising church have we become? Well, we're afraid to get backlash. So I'm not afraid to get backlash from you. I would rather get backlash from you than for me to skip by your page, see what you're doing, seeing all this mess you're putting out there and not say anything. I fear for that backlash more than just getting backlash from you if I do say something. But this is how it is. This is how it, I can't say this is how it's becoming. This is how it is. Now, as in light of all of this, ask yourself, is the church ever going to be one with this stuff going on? Ask yourself, is the Church of Jesus Christ, we're one spiritually, because, you know, we're all, you know, of the same spirit in Jesus. But as far as the church, going back to Acts, we read about the church being of one mind, one heart, one mind and one heart. How are we ever going to be one when we have a portion of the church that is walking in spirit, a portion of the church that's walking in flesh, a portion of the church that's preaching and teaching and shouting like Paul in the wilderness, you know, about the kingdom, which involves repentance and preaching against sin, and we have a portion of the church that's scared to speak out against sin and things of the kingdom because they're going to lose friends on Facebook. So now you have to ask yourself, is Facebook your God? Or is Jesus your God? Is Twitter your God? Is Instagram your God? Or is Jesus your God? Then that's the next question you have to ask yourself. Because if you're not going to stand up and say anything to your brothers and sisters about how they are presenting themselves as men and women of God online, and you're not going to say anything about how they present themselves in these areas of fashion regarding lasciviousness and so on, I might as well have put a picture of myself smoking crack with a crack pipe, hitting the pipe and putting it up on my wall and saying, yeah, God bless y'all. And not one person, you know, and instead of, oh, my goodness, what in the world has happened to Darren? These are the type of posts that I get. Oh, what is that, a pink crack pipe, or is that a blue crack pipe? Oh, you got little flowers around the side. Did you get that on the discount? Because I like the way it was shaped, how the way they crafted that pipe. Those are the types of posts that I get opposed to, brother, I need to inbox you. Can I have your phone number? Can I call you? Because I think I need to say a word to you. We don't want to hear it no more. So, regarding judging, Christians should not judge. That's in Matthew 7:1. Judge not that you be not judged. And, you know, another verse is John 8:7. You know, he that is without sin, let him cast the first stone. And I understand that as well. But when we read these verses in their immediate context, it becomes obvious that Jesus is not warning against every kind of judging, but against hypocritical, self-righteous judging. In other words, I need to shut my mouth regarding judging another man for gambling if I'm gambling too. In other words, I need to refrain from pronouncing judgment on you if you're committing the very same sin that I know I'm doing. Okay? So if I come out and I say, well, this sister is dressing inappropriately, well, I'm not dressing inappropriately, so I'm going to speak out on it. So the point of judging is judging hypocritically. It's not that this is what we're talking about. So let us understand that a Christian must judge or discern. If you don't understand the word judge, maybe you'll understand the word discern. The Christian must judge or discern between good and evil. It says that in Hebrews 5. I already gave out a couple verses already. We have to be able to make spiritual evaluations of words and behavior of others, not to find fault. I wasn't trying to find fault with this sister, but to effectively guard our hearts against error and sin. You can go to 1 Corinthians 2 and Proverbs 4 on that. So according to Jesus, this kind of judgment is considered right judgment. You go to John chapter 7, and it's strongly encouraged. Not hypocritical judgment, not judging the person's heart, but judging the behavior. So once again, biblical education. Folks don't understand what Christian judging or biblical judging is. Folks don't understand what biblical love is. Once again, you know, sister said, well, Darren, you ain't got no love. Where's the love? Well, I said, yeah, I did show love. They just say you don't understand love the way it needs to be, you know, produced and given in the context of the light of what's going on. Love means doing what is best for someone, regardless of the cost. Love is truthful, and deception cannot bring about the best of anyone. And when you present yourself in a way that's half-naked before the world, that is deception. And another thing, if you understand the word nakedness, since the fall, go back to Adam and Eve, when they were kicked out the garden, naked, and, you know, they had to, you know, put the leaves together, put them around. Since that time, even all the way up until now, nakedness has always been associated with shame. And shame is a word that is not supposed to be associated with a Christian. This is another thing that people don't understand. And this is why we bring these broadcasts. So hopefully somebody's listening to this broadcast right now. When it's over, you know, and we post this back up on my page, and then you take the link and you share it with so they can hear, because people need to hear this, because they don't know. And they're at a point right now, and people start to say, well, Darren, you're the angry one. And no, I'm not angry. It's the person who is rebelling against their identity. Their identity says that they should be pure and they should be decent and in order, and they should be of integrity, and they should be a Proverbs 31, Titus 2 woman. What type of Proverbs 31, Titus 2 woman represents herself on Facebook, online, and takes pictures half naked with her bust and breasts hanging out? You tell me that. Well, Darren, you put people. Well, that's right. I'm going to put you on the spot. Now you take me from Genesis to Revelation, and you show me a scripture that advocates that. Well, Darren, you need to calm down. This is what I had a sister tell me. Darren, you need to calm down. Is my concern about you? And it could be you who's listening right now. Is my concern about you so weak and so lax that I can't have passion about wanting you to be in the light that I know you should be in before the world? You darn straight, I got passion about it. I got passion for my brothers and sisters because I love the church, and I don't want them showing themselves in a dark light out here in this type of lascivious light like the sisters doing. People try to tell me, "Well, take it easy, calm down. It's not that deep." It is that deep. And if you don't believe me, wait before you stand before the judgment seat, and you're gonna see how deep it is. So there's some scriptures on when people come to you and they say, you know, you're trying to speak the truth about certain topics. Tonight's topic is about sexiness, right? But whatever the topic is, right, there's people out there online and they got Jesus all over the page and they're saying I'm Christian, this and other thing, but yet, you know, they're doing stuff like this, right? Man or woman, I don't discriminate, right? And you try to put truth out there. If you're bold enough to put truth out there, because a lot of y'all are not bold enough to put the truth out there. But that's, you know, that's, I'm not going down that block. So people come to you, if you want to put the truth out there, people come to you and say, well, you know, you didn't show no love and doing this. These are the scriptures that you can bring out to refute that, okay? If they don't understand it, then, you know, you pray for them, you know, ask them to read scriptures over, you know, share the scriptures with them and read, you know, help them understand. But that's the scripture regarding that. When people come out after you and they say, well, you're not showing love in the way you're doing this, those are the scriptures to refute that. Okay, now, judging, I gave the scriptures to refute that. When people come at you and they say, well, you know, why are you talking about this sister and this and another thing, and you just judging her or you judging me. So these are scriptures that I gave out tonight. These are a few that you can use to refute that. If the person you're talking to don't understand it, don't fight them. Okay, because it took a long time for you to understand stuff, just like it took a long time for me to understand stuff, just like it took a long time for T.D. Jakes to understand stuff. Nobody comes out the womb knowing everything and knowing a lot of stuff, okay? Everybody takes time, right? And the people that you may be sharing this stuff, you see that's doing this stuff, then one day hopefully they'll break out of it too, okay? But those who are online and they are adamant, they're adamant about coming across like they're a man or woman of God, and they're on the same level promoting this stuff at the same time. No, I got to say something to you, okay? Your mama on Facebook, your daddy on Facebook, your pastor on Facebook. So I don't care whether the Pope, priest, or sitting there, whoever sitting in the pew to the pastor is on Facebook. I got to say something to you. Because my love for you is not that weak. See, these other 20, 25, 30 Christians that commented on how good that dress was, and they see your breast busting all out in the front, and my child is on Facebook looking at this stuff too. Because, you know, because church folks is on Facebook, and they visit each other's pages, and oh, yeah, that sister girl, she okay. You know, you see her in church every Sunday. She okay, and you going over to her Facebook and stuff, just hanging all out. My little girl came and told me that she was ran by your page. And what's going on with that? Okay. So this is when you do it, right? In love, right? We don't judge hearts; we judge actions. because we have a right to judge actions, right? And we do it in love. People say it's not love. No, I'm doing it because I love you. If I didn't say something to you, then that shows that my love is weak for you as my brother or sister. And that is the thing that I'm seeing that obviously is a lot. I don't know what's the online thing, but I go across people's pages, boy, and they got some wild stuff out there, and everybody's clapping hands. And I'm like, my goodness, we got a Christian that's doing some stuff, some right-wing stuff, and we got 25, 30 other Christians that's liking this stuff and clapping hands. And I'm saying to myself, is this one person that knows the difference between right and wrong and is actually as bold enough to come out and post something that says, no, all this stuff is wicked? Compromising your sexiness. You don't want nobody judging yours. Christian sexiness, that's a nice broadcast. Christian sexiness, don't judge mine. You don't want nobody judging yours. You don't want nobody judging your sexiness, right? I did a broadcast with my pastor, right, on in the church, modesty. So if you go to my, if you want to hear the broadcast, because I posted it, it was done a couple years ago. It was done in 2012, I think. If you go to my, when I put up the post that led to this broadcast tonight, right, on Facebook, so now it says like 8 hours ago on Facebook, right? So if you go to my Facebook page and you scroll down a couple, right, and it says, here, if you're just coming into the broadcast tonight, I'll read it again. It says, another sister on Facebook who calls herself a woman of God and has Jesus all over her page has now placed up a selfie with half her huge breast exposed to see. I guess because she thinks she's in a dress gown, that's supposed to justify it, right? So if you, and it's like 54 of like 68 comments, right? So after the broadcast, if you go to the, I'm not going to delete it, right? So after the broadcast, we were going over, like, if you scroll down to, like, if you just keep scrolling down, right, one of the comments that I put up, I actually put up the link to this broadcast that me and the pastor did a couple years ago, and it's called Saved and Naked Online, right? I'll say it again. It's called Saved and Naked Online. Right? Can a Christian be saved and outwardly be sexy? Right? So this is like, so this broadcast, and you click the little radio button, and you can listen to the broadcast, right? So I put that up there because that's like, you know, an add-on to tonight's broadcast. Christian sexiness, don't judge mine. A lot of things that was said on this broadcast with the pastor and I did, Saved and Sexy Online, you may hear a lot of things on that broadcast that you're not going to hear on tonight's broadcast, because tonight's broadcast, I'm just talking like I'm sitting at your kitchen table, okay? We're still teaching, but, you know, it's kind of like a little, you know, kitchen table talk right now, all right? So that's the situation. Now, folks, sisters, and this goes for the brothers too, but because this was a sister I originally posted about, Let me tell you this, all right? Because a lot of you sisters hit me up online about you can't find a man and this and another thing, but you don't say nothing about how you be presenting yourself. You don't say nothing about that. Because what you see, your breasts hanging out and you showing your thongs and all that stuff don't register with you. You think, you look at that and say, there's nothing wrong with this. That's what you say. And then when you get the wrong type of brothers that approach you, they say, well, I'm going to take a chance on him. He seems like he's kind of decent. I'm going to take a chance on him. That brother ain't looking at nothing but what you got exposed out there. And then some of you are going to lie right in the brother's face and say, well, I'm doing this for myself. You know you're not doing it for yourself. Now, once again, I'm coming close to judging heart, but I'm not judging heart. I may come close to it. But if I were to put 50 cents on the dollar, and I'm not a betting man, a lot of y'all do this. A lot of y'all lie and say, you know, I'm doing this for myself, and you know you're not. You want attention. Maybe you're not getting it in real life. This is not the way to bring in real life attention. through online sin. Okay. So Scripture says that we are to dress modestly. Okay. Do you have to be covered head to toe? No. So what is the biblical meaning of modesty, Darren? Let's start with your attitude of heart. Let's start there. If a woman's heart is inclined towards godliness, then she will wear clothing that is neither provocative nor revealing in public, clothing that does not reflect negatively upon her personal testimony as a child of God. And even though everybody else in her circle, if that's the type of circle she has, may be dressing immodestly, she resists the temptation to go along with the crowd. She avoids clothing designed to draw attention to her body that cause men to lust. And you want to go a little step further? And to cause other sisters to lust too, that may be on the down low, who are Christian. They always talk about brothers on the down low. A lot of y'all sisters on the down low too. So the folks don't talk about it. So you dress in a way that does not bring temptation to man or woman. You avoid clothing that is designed to draw attention to your body and to cause another man or another woman to lust. Because you may be saying to yourself, I dress in a way to where as though men, I know men are not lusting after me. Well, do you know how many women that may be lusting after you? You think there's not lesbians in the church? Black lesbians in the church? You're wise enough to know that this type of attention cheapens you. It does not bring value to who you are. Okay. This is how you should be dressing. Right? In an immodest fashion, displaying your body for men and women to lust after. You may not be thinking women, but just because you're not thinking women don't mean that other women are not lusting after you and men lusting after you. You should not be dressing in a way that causes the body to sin, something that is condemned by God. Go to Matthew 5 and Proverbs 7. A godly woman endeavors to do everything with a Godward perspective, because she knows, Proverbs 31, Titus 2, that God wants his people to be concerned for his glory, not hers, and the spiritual state of her brothers and sisters. And there's a lot of pride in sisters dressing like this, because they say, well, I dress for myself. Yo, you dressing for yourself half naked, but you have no concern for your brothers and sisters about what they're going to think. That's prideful. It's all about you. That's a prideful statement that should never come out of the mouth of a man or a woman of God. And this is why I was telling when Evelyn, if those of you was on the broadcast, when Evelyn got off, I was telling her, when she asked that question about relationships, I was saying, yeah, well, you know, there's a lot to play here. And a lot of that comes into play regarding this stuff is identity and how people see themselves, even as Christians. This is what it is. This is what it is. All right, so Christian sexiness don't judge mine. We gave out a lot of scriptures tonight. Remember, modesty is the way we dress, not only in the church, but it is to be the standard for all Christians at all times, even online. All right, so the key is to understand, you know, what brings about modesty in dress. You know, we need to examine the attitudes and the heart ourselves, starting with ourselves. All right? So those of us who are inclined, all right, those of us who have hearts that are inclined, well, we're going to make every effort that we can to dress modestly, to dress decently, to dress appropriately. And those whose hearts are inclined towards self, will dress in a manner designed to draw attention to themselves with little or no regard for the consequences to themselves or to others. It's just as simple as that. And I hope you understand it, because a lot don't. And that's why I ask that you share this broadcast whenever you can. All right. This is Darren Chapman, and I am out. Yes, I am out. Go on over to my page, and you can tap into Save the Naked Online. If you don't know where it's at, hit me up. I'll send you the link. This broadcast tonight will be up sometime. We're closing early because technically we're supposed to be here from 8 to 10. But I think we've said pretty much enough to where the folks can get the point. Okay, if you're just now coming into the broadcast and you want to hear from the beginning, stop on over on my page in about maybe, I don't know, 15, 20 minutes, and we can see if we can get it up there. If not, you still can't find it, inbox me, and I'll send you over the link. And share tonight's broadcast, because there's two things, there's three things, definitely, that will stop the Christian, you know, those Christians who come at you when you try to explain these things to them. There's scripture that was given out tonight that will stop all that in its tracks. Now, if they keep coming and roll right over it, that's not your fight. You know, that just shows the root of their idolism, whether it's lasciviousness or gambling or, you know, whatever it is, fornication, adultery. That just shows the root or the deepness of the bondage that they are in. If you wind up giving them scripture and they just keep rolling over it, like you know, it's not scripture, it's a rock. Right? But there's a lot of scripture that was given out tonight that will combat when you know, these other Christians pop up online. They say, well, you can't judge me. There's a lot of scripture that was given out. So I suggest that you listen to the broadcast over again and you pick those scriptures out and be ready to give an answer when and if that happens. There's a lot of scriptures that can combat when Christians come back and say, well, you know, that's not love. Well, other Christians may see what you do and they say, well, you know, that's not love and that's not how you do it. That's not how you do that. And there are scriptures given out that can combat that. And you just give it and you leave it. You leave it. Now, if they want to roll over it, that shows that they need to continue. They haven't got it yet, and they need to keep studying, and one day they will get it. But you just drop the seed and you keep rolling. Unless God wants to plant you there, like John the Baptist, for a particular season, to keep preaching and drilling it home. I can't speak on that. Okay? These broadcasts, we strive to give the seeds of righteousness and the seeds of redemption and the seeds of repentance and the fruit of the Spirit as far as the characters and how we're supposed to be living our lives before the church and the world, God first. Biblical education for Christian relationships. All right? God bless you.
Hey, yeah, yeah.
Knowledge, ask God, will I need you? I believe without doubt, but some are blown and tossed, spiritually dead in the world that they walk in. Your people perish for what they don't know. The blind lead the blind, and it troubles my soul. The command you gave, love one another as you love me. I love my sisters and brothers. The cross that I bear is to honor your name, to let your will be done until my dying day. There's a love in me that comes from you. I was pricked in the heart, the spirit of truth. I obey your command as an offering of love. You show yourself to me and I thank you, Lord. Holy Ghost power is what I receive, so I store up your word for the time of need.
I pray for you, and that's what I'm gonna do. I see
single coming in. Her life is thin, no quality friends, no family dynamic, no support system. It's a generational curse. I call out the demon, I call it out of my home in the name of Jesus. I plead the blood of them boys, I'll keep them in prayer. I cast a burden on you, Lord, and I'm leaving it there. Have a go to work on us fathers, the good, the bad, the absentee, and the ones that don't bother. Let your will be done, that we raise our sons and nurture our daughters the way that you want us, without irritation or provoking their anger, but patiently a perfect work. I rebuke the hater, the family and church where the devil's at play. I lay axe to the roof to cut the head off the snake.
I pray for you, that's what I wanna do. I pray for you.
Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus. Forgive us, we all have sinned. Lord, we need you. Where to begin? We worship what we don't know, forsaken as an idol, God's chosen, held liable, instructions in the Bible, but who wants to read? It says to get an understanding, without faith you don't believe, and God's not pleased, you reap what you sow, sparingly you sow, you reap accordingly. I seek first the Lord's righteousness, I ask him to see from God, that I might glorify him. I'm on my knees, calling on Jesus, I'm a believer, anointed to speak up, full of his word and Holy Ghost power. When I'm weak in my ways, I bathe in scriptural showers. Man cannot live by bread alone, but for every word of God, that's what I'm studying for.
I pray for you, and that's what I'm gonna do.